That was why Sarah did it. And the two wives of Jacob, it was their favorite pastime. While they were competing to have children, if the woman didn't conceive this month, she quickly rushed her maid. Please, go and conceive for me. I know they do this in parts of Nigeria. I know they do this in, is it Calabar area? Somewhere around there, I'm not sure. I heard a woman who's explaining that. That's traditionally that. That if, for example, now she just feels like having children. She's an old woman, you know, postmenopausal and all that. And she will go and marry a new wife. She will, the husband won't come. She will spend money, look for a young girl, pay dowry, do party, do ceremony. She's the husband. She will marry the young girl and take her home and give her to her husband. And the girl will bear like two or three children. Then she will let her go at a particular point in time. And those children are hers. You know, it's not only there. They did it around here and there. But I'm trying to explain here that Sarah had a reason for bringing that up. And why I'm emphasizing it actually is that, you see, usually it happens with human beings that you have to be careful. Bible says these things were recorded for our learning. Do you understand? What happens is that when God's promise doesn't come through quickly, we tend to get methods that human beings, people around, have used and gotten their own results, thinking that that's what will work with God. Do you follow my point? That is why, or let me use as an illustration, like in ministry, I said before that people have given me counsel and people have discussed things like there was a time a friend said that, look, this is how Cosmo FM, how much are you guys paying? I told him. He said you could sell 2 minutes off maybe at the beginning. All right? You know, after some time, it becomes almost prime time. If the program is very popular, the 2 minutes at the beginning, maybe like just before they say, welcome to the way of success, you sell that 1 minute, it will attract a very good price. That's why if you NTA, that's what NTA calls prime time. That's prime advertising. 5 minutes before 9 o'clock, any advert you put in there is not the same price as the one before that. Now, so somebody told me that, why don't you just sell a few minutes? I said, I'll think about it. But as I was saying, I was thinking about it, I knew I was lying. I wasn't going to think about it. I just didn't want him to make him feel like I was just dismiss what he was saying. And later I just told him simply, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, well, there's a reason, but it's not my responsibility to use those. They are not evil methods. They are just worldly methods to sustain it. I'm not trying to market the program. Please, so I don't know whether somebody will hear this and it will help him. That's why I love TBN. Is a very good network. I love TBN, all right? But a lot of things I see preachers do on TBN, all right, they are the worldly methods that people have learned to raise money for ministry. If money is not coming quickly, you start doing deals with people. Let me tell you how to do ministry. If I forget this later and I start backsliding, please, one of you should remind me. Are you getting my point? Anytime God sends people, all right, he also sends people that have money. Do you understand my point? So you say, Pastor Banky, so who are the rich people that are with you? Should I tell you the rich people who are with me? Do you want to know? Dave got it. Another one? Any other person? All right, good. They are pointing out their hands. You see, are you getting my point? You see what I'm saying? You know, one day I was discussing with one of my friends. He made a statement. I was just saying something. I was just talking. You know, I don't even know how we got to it. I was like, look, that when I'm teaching, and I'm, for me, I'm not, and you heard me say that some time ago, that I'm not looking for one big man to come and have mercy upon, you know, these young people do ministry. I said, no, that the word I'm preaching will produce. All right? I said, most people that I teach, all right, they are not big men, physically speaking. But in their hearts, they are. And the words I'm teaching is energizing what God has deposited in them to manifest. As I was just talking, my friend said, hear what Tunde Bakare said. Tunde Bakare said, this is how you know you are called in ministry. If you are called, if you start preaching, and it's only big men you attract, just know you are not called. You are not anointed. You are fooling yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tunde Bakare said that the man who is called, God will send the opportunity. He said, the sick are the ones that need a physician. The man that is well doesn't need a physician. That is, the man who has prospered does not need my gospel. So what does God do? God sends those who have not yet materially prospered. Tunde Bakare said, when you see that, then know you are called. Oh, you are not following my point. He said, that is when you know you are called. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, as you teach, okay, as you minister, that the world begins to produce. That's why I said that God has sent me and many very rich people. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I said, who are the rich people? You put up your hand. Whether you have money or not is besides the point. Do you get my point? That's what I have understood about ministry is done. The way I preach with dedication, the same way they will give with dedication. I won't have to beg anybody. You see what I do now? Have you ever seen me beg anybody? But this is what happens. Sometimes you have dreams. You know, I would dream, want to do TV. You know, I remember the first time I said we're going to go on radio. When I went and prized radio, even me, I forgot the idea. I came here, I explained at the beginning of the year, this year, we're going on radio. I've calculated it. Now, when I reached the place, look the price. I just didn't say anything again. Just continue preaching as usual. Shebi, I didn't tell you the date radio will start. I just said it will happen. It was July that it finally came to. I was listening to a message. Pastor Kwaji was preaching. No, actually, I was listening to a tape. My wife was. I had a meeting in church. I was waiting in the car for her to pick after the meeting. So I usually occupy my time. So I put in a tape. I was listening. Now I can't remember which tape or what he said. But I think I can guess which one of the tapes then. And after he said it, in my heart, I just knew. Now, listen to this. Maybe it will bless you how that radio program began. I don't know precisely what he said, but I just knew then that the time was ripe. Do you understand my point? To start that radio thing. You follow what I'm saying? I am not going to use any worldly method. That's why I love this. But you see, sometimes when people have started doing things, either the promise of God is not coming quickly, because the Bible said very clearly in verse 3 here, that it was 10 years after this guy had gotten this problem, after living in Canaan, that was when Sarai took this decision. This is not fluent. You say God promised 10 years after. Now, beg, let us use the method of the people around. That was what happened. And that is the source. That was the source of the major problem in the life of Abraham. Using the method of the people around. Look, if you want to do business, listen. Anybody who starts telling you how it is done is your enemy. I know he loves you, he claims. But that is the word of Satan. I said something, if you don't have this CD, go and get it and listen to it. That radio series where I talked about, cooperating with the Seasons in Life's Adventure. Yes. Because I talked about first sitting down. There's a position in which you sit down, and what you do in sitting down is to download from God by prayer and meditation and from observing many things how your own things are going to be. There is no how you will be outstanding in life, like I preach you will be, if you do what everybody else does. The one that works like that has been done. Do you get what I'm trying to say? No matter how ridiculous your own is, like Abraham, they say, how will your own be? He said, my own is that I will come out at night and look at star. Say, look at you. After that, I will call my wife by another name. What else? I will call myself by another name. And that is all. And you will have children. Idiots. Can't you see your wife is old? Who before now as a woman, let's even say men, I understand. Who before now as a woman gave birth to a child at this age? Now I beg. Sarah, don't mind your husband. She doesn't know what she's saying. He doesn't know what he's saying. See, Hammurabi said, if this happened, this is a sure solution. Go down to Nigeria. They are doing it there. You go, they're doing it everywhere. And for your information, the man who used to live here, he had 15 children. Do you know how he had the 15 children? His wife had 5 maids. Now, did you know until I told you now? Abraham said, no, I didn't know. You see? So who will know this one? And did God specifically instruct you not to use Hammurabi's method? Sarah too looked and said, my husband, Hagar, come. Please go help me save my husband in his tent. Oh, God. And God allowed that. I don't know how he just left Abraham to miss that one very widely. What am I trying to say? That is the temptation of human beings. When the promise of God doesn't come quickly, they want to use the helping method, the Uzzah method. Help God, put a hand to the ark. Are you getting my point? I've explained all this for you to understand that Sarah didn't just dream it up. it was a worldly practice around there that she tried to apply to the fulfillment of the promise of God. And you know the rest of the story. And that's God for you, because you didn't accept. You want to do your business, say, this is our industry, this is how they do it. But say, fine, this is how it works. This is the irritating part about this thing, and it annoys me personally. It usually works rapidly. Do you get what I'm saying? You have held on to the promise of God and your own method. 5 years, nothing happened. You try the worldly method, 1 year, you see results. Doesn't mean God has changed his mind. God said, the one that doesn't last is the one that springs up quickly. Are you getting my point? He sprang up quickly because he did not have deepness of earth. That's what the Bible said. Because the earth wasn't much. It didn't have much to take root. What God does is takes 10 years because you have to take serious roots downwards. We're training you in faith. It takes time. But when it has started growing, you can't bring it down. Are you getting my point? When it started growing, nothing will be able to withstand it. Nothing will be able to overcome it. That's the promise of God. That's the way it works. So it's never in a hurry to start. What am I explaining? Sarah didn't just dream something up. It was advice from people around. That was what she used. And the Bible said that he went into Hagar, and Hagar conceived instantly. Hagar's don't waste time. Hagar's, they don't waste time. It's the Sarai's that are the people of promise that don't seem to get this thing quickly. And that's because the Bible says it must be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. So God first builds up the faith so that the power can be released. I told you before, that was on Saturday, that goats conceive. Cows conceive. So when you see a situation, maybe a man goes to America and is looking very fresh, there's no big deal about it. Because the cheapest thing in America is food. You know that? The fattest people in the world are Americans. The second fattest. The fattest are the people from Tonga. You are following the point I'm making here. So the thing is that the system of the world works. But I was saying that Abraham, if you are going to walk like Abraham, give birth to a child under difficult circumstances, all right? And this child would increase and endure. Are you getting my point? Then it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. Worldly system, they always work. They work fast, but they don't produce the promise of God. That's the point that I'm making. That was why, you see, I told you earlier, I was using ministers as an example. I have learned by my own understanding. Kingdom World Ministries, believe me, we're going to spend millions and millions and hundreds of millions, literally, in today's terms of US dollars. I don't doubt that. In fact, I am persuaded it will cross into billions and billions of US dollars. Every single dime is going to be given freely. I have discovered that. I will never enter any deal with anybody. Now, what am I trying to say? That's the way it flows. Everybody does his own portion. And I believe that very strongly. So, I'm not going to learn any worldly method. I'm not going to sell my books at a premium price. If you give us $10,000, I will give you one that I have signed. Listen, if you give me $10,000, I will give me $2 or 1 naira. You will not get the one that I signed. If you want the book, go and buy your copy. Are you getting my point? I can dash you one person as a friend, you know, like, okay, this guy, yes, yeah, I know, you know, the world is blessing you. And I do that. Like the guy who printed, the printer who helped me the first time, I autographed some copies and gave to him. You understand? Friend of mine who saw the book, so this is very nice. So yeah, I signed a copy and said, you will show people that Pastor Banky gave this one personally. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's what I found to be the divine method. In that case, the idea now is that it rests in God alone. Like Bishop was saying, only God can motivate people to give to people like him. Only God. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why, look, you know, the people like to look sad. You know, you think that if you look hungry, somebody will have mercy on you. It's not true. If God doesn't show you mercy, no mercy for you, no matter how hungry you look. And people who look too hungry, they get crumbs. You know what I mean? What they get? Crumbs. When you want to go and greet a real man, that's why they honor the Lord with their substance. All right? So when you are giving to a king, usually you give out your substance. Your substance may be 20 naira, but it's your substance. Are you getting my point? But that's because he's a king. But if it was a beggar, that 20 naira, you go cut out, you use scissors and divider, line, cut it to about 200 places. When it remains one piece, you give the person. That's why, that's because he's a beggar. No point looking hungry. If God shows you favor, are you getting my point? Favor will follow you. You understand the point? All right, we're not modifying that for anything. Now, all of this just is because of Sarah. Abby, she was the one that went to use the worldly method trying to get results for Abraham. Now, let's just continue, please. I hope you have learned something from the things I've said today. Now, of course, Sarah now entered into trouble because of that, because it's the Hagar of a person. When she found out she had conceived, she began to brag and maltreat the woman of promise. Do you get my point? Which is what happens when we use the method of the world. Okay? I'm a preacher, so I can say this. When as a preacher, you are going around begging for money, then the man starts talking. And this, what I'm telling you, really happens. You expect I like what my pastor said, when there's one big man in this town that said, pastor should come and see him so that he will give the church some money. Go and tell him that if he doesn't know the road to the church, he should swallow his money. You know why he can talk like that? Other preachers have been queuing at his door. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? One man I was reading a book said something once. He said that when a big man came to see him, very wealthy man, very wealthy. And they told him that the pastor was busy, that he should wait. And the guy explained that he's not used to waiting. And said, sorry, pastor is counseling somebody, you just have to wait your turn. Now this guy is very wealthy and he donates money to churches. I read an American. And so eventually, he kind of jumped the protocol, refused to obey the instructions, and entered the pastor's office. So the pastor lifted up his head and like, who are you? The guy said, you don't know me. He said, no, I don't know you, and I don't understand how you entered my office without proper protocol, proper order. He said, look, I'm so pressing, and look, I have come to give money to your church. The man looked at him and said, listen, my friend, I think from now that you have mentioned your name, I think your name rings a bell. And you know, he said that, look, he has been to many places. Nobody keeps him waiting. He said, you will notice that I never begged you to come here. Told the man simply. And for information, your money you are talking about, I actually don't want it. I happen to know where you make your money from, and it doesn't interest me. According to my rules, your money is dirty, so get out of my office. True story, really happened. Are you getting what I'm saying? You say such things when your faith is in blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of the heavens and the earth. You are getting what I'm trying to say. Because that's what really happens when the Hagars have gotten pregnant. They start looking down on the Sarais, the women, really, the person of covenant. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That talking nonsense that, I mean, you've talked about your faith, it really doesn't work. This is the one that works rapidly. Please, let's note that lesson. That's why you don't parley with Satan for anything. Anyway, so then Abraham said to Sarah, behold, your maid is in your power, verse 5, 6. Do to her what is good in your sight. And Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Then when she entered into the wilderness, the angel of the Lord found her by the spring and then spoke to her. Well, I don't want to spend all the time. Gave her a spring and gave her a promise concerning her child. And he said, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and his name shall be called Ishmael, verse 11, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. Now listen to this though. He said, it will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Let me just say this. Someone was telling me the other day that, God forgive me, I wasn't there, and so they tell me, they say Arabs, these guys who are fighting in Middle East, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan, down to, no, those are Europeans. Anyway, all those people, I don't know how to say, Muslims generally, and then the Arabs, Gongo. He says for them, quarreling and fighting is a lifestyle. That Israel is just their current excuse. You don't get the point. No, the man has lived there. The person who said this, he lived there for a very long time. He said if there was no Israel, they would quarrel amongst themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? That he says his hand is against everyone. That's just the way it is. That the guys are always quarreling. That right now, they have united against Israel. So Israel is the focus of the quarrel. But if you were to remove Israel today, then they will turn and face each other. Just like, you know, in Palestine now, Hamas and the Fatah, they are quarreling. He said, look, now these people are talking. It's in the blood. The people, they quarrel as a nature. They're always looking for an excuse to fight. Remove Israel, they will turn on themselves. I think it's part of the fulfillment of this prophecy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? Okay, now, please, let me just... Now, I'm in verse 17 now, chapter 17 now. Now, when God... Now, let's just read the last verse of chapter 16, which is verse 16. It says, Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Now, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. And I will multiply you exceedingly. You will notice earlier that he had made a covenant with Abraham. Alright? But God was now saying that for there to be a fulfillment of that covenant, I told you that every covenant has terms. Something you are supposed to do for this other side to be fulfilled. You are getting the point. He now said, walk before me and be blameless, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and I will... And you will be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be called what? Abraham. And I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. Now, please notice something here. The Bible says that he believed in God. That's, I'm quoting from Romans chapter is it chapter 4 now. He said, before God who he believed, he said, who caused those things that be not as though they were? King James says. There's something I want to bring out here. You will see that God first changed his name. It's not as if God was trying to, it's not as if God was just trying to prophesy. But for God, what he was going to do in the life of Abraham was real. He could see it. Are you getting my point? To God, it was tangible. Therefore, he said, your name will no longer be Abraham. It will be Abraham. Abraham means exalted father. But Abraham means the father of many nations, of a multitude. That's literally what Abraham means. And God said that you will be the father of a multitude of nations. He said, for that reason, your name shall be Abraham. That is, because you are a father of a multitude of nations, therefore, your name is Abraham. That's what he was saying. When he said, God caused those things that be not materially speaking as though they were already. The reason being that really, in the realm of the spirit, they already are. Are you getting my point? And you see, the first point, after seeing visions... Because God had told him, so will your descendants be as in the stars. The next point, law of faith, after seeing visions, is that your tongue, your mouth, must start speaking as if those things have happened. Are you getting my point? Listen, we're talking about the principles of faith. We'll talk about this one again on Saturday. But this is the point I want you to understand here. God, I told you, God was training this guy in faith. God was training him in faith. The man had learned how to see visions. Dream dreams. God said, after that, the name that you will be called is according to that which you have seen. Because as far as I'm concerned, it has already happened. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? There's a prophecy my wife and I used to prophesy over each other those days. I said, when you prophesy, you know, I told you about the power of resonance. What God wants to do, if you think along that line, power will just be flowing towards you anyhow. No, so. So, I used to call my wife Momsi. No, Momsi usually is short for, all right? But for me, it was mother of many children. Do you get what I'm saying? So I've told her that, look, anytime you get pregnant, don't be angry. It's prophecy. Do you follow the point I'm making? This name was long ago, before she had one. You are calling those things that be not as though they were. And that's a problem with all such things. They start chasing you around. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? That's the way it works. That is why between Benga and Omena, that Benga is my second bubbles, and then the little girl, there's just 1 year and 2 months gap, or you reach 3 months, okay, 1 year and 3 months gap. It's not their fault. It's prophecy. It's called the power of resonance. These laws of faith we're talking about, there's a time, listen, there was one man I heard about, and this will happen to everybody, this is what I'm going to say. The man, they said that he was a businessman. He prospered so much in business, he stopped doing business because he was embarrassed with prosperity. He said, why is it that everything I do, seems to work. But people are failing in business every day. But him. So you know what he did? He retired. He said, I'm tired. I started doing charity work. He now met one preacher one day and he complained to the man that I prospered too much. That when I explained to him the purpose of God, why God was harassing him like that, that was when he returned back to doing business. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make here? See, when you have seen the visions of God, like we said, and you are cooperating with the mouth, a time will come, all right, that those things that you said, I talked on, okay, to be on radio tonight about the time of your visitation. The time of your visitation, you have done certain things. Then the time of judgment comes. The things are just pursuing it, but you don't even know. Like, you will just sit down at home. Prosperity will just come and embarrass you there. He wanted that. I thought I was on holiday now. It is not your fault. There's nothing you can do about it. You have ignited things. They are just pouring upon you one after the other. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? Yes, that's why, it might take time. The initial times might be difficult. 10 years after Abraham moved into Canaan, he was still being trained in faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? 10 years after. But I'm telling you that that's the way it works. It takes root downwards at the beginning. In those seasons, God is teaching you how to see visions. He will allow problems to help you see bigger things to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then along the line, you must begin to talk. No, don't. That's the most important law of faith here. Because God told the man, this is what I have made you. Therefore, that's the name you will be called. You are following what I'm trying to say. That is why, may I bear names. Please, if you have not read this tract, please, I beg you, go and download it. I don't think we have copies here. Daniel. One of our tracts is titled Daniel. That is a summary of this message I'm preaching. I said, every one of my children, their names are prophetic. Each one. Akinlu is simple. It means God's warrior. But that is not just what it is. God's warrior is in battlefield. You don't warrior and sit at home and picking teeth, do you? You war a warfare in war front. Do you understand my point? That is where warriors war their warfare. It's in the war front. They don't sit at home. So when I was calling him God's warrior, I'm already mapping out that in my mind I have things that he has to control for God, and in which case everything is under control right now by somebody. So you have to take it from somebody else. That's why the kingdoms of the world becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. It was somewhere before. So that's why I told him, as a businessman, as a rule, you must be a billionaire in today's term by the time you are 30. Are you getting the point? I mean, he's not going to start learning faith at this level, as an old man. He starts learning these ones when he's young. He hears it every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. There are prophecies running on his head. Every day, literally. You ask him sometime, what is your name? He'll tell you, King Akinlu David. Somebody taught him to put the king there. He will still remind me, there's a prayer I taught him recently. He said, Daddy, you have not prayed that prayer. I said, yeah, I prayed. He said, my help comes from the Lord who makes the heavens and the earth. And my healing comes from Jesus Christ who died and rose again. I said, good. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So, the names, they create things. You know, they start. I told you, these things, the angels start getting positioned in places, waiting to arrange. Because, you see, what God wants is the person that will believe, not the person that will struggle. Are you getting my point? The only skill David had was, just, but God said, the man is a man of faith. Bring him. I will make him my next king. You are getting the point I'm making. That names are powerful. That's why my name was not always Daniel Bankole Olushina that I bear. No. Go and read that track. I don't have time to explain it. Daniel. There's a reason why I picked the name Daniel. It's very prophetic. It was after I read Isaiah chapter 6, verse 12. It said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. The reason why the name Daniel is important is because it's the meaning of the Hebrew word. The Hebrew meaning is God my judge. El. All right? Dan is the word for judge in Hebrew. El, God. Daniel, God is my judge. And what that means is that God lifts one up while it's bringing down another. So I said, I'm the one God is lifting up. For that reason, I took up the name Daniel. So God told him, look, this is the issue. Because a father of many nations have made you, Therefore, your name is what? Abram. All right. He said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. And then he now told him about the sign of the covenant that he was going to keep. Because of time, please, I will not read that. Then the circumcision was to be the sign of the covenant. But where I want to end, actually, is a misunderstanding some people have concerning the laughter of Abraham. Abraham laughed when God told him. Now, first, let's get something here. In verse 16, he said, I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And Sarah, who is 90 years, bear a child? People think, now this is a misunderstanding, because of time I'll rush over it, that Abraham did not believe what God said. But it's not true. And I'll prove it to you. First, I read this some time ago when a man explained that the word laughed there, it just simply means laughed. It does not have to be mockery. Are you getting my point? That the same word is used when somebody laughs out of excitement. All right? When somebody laughs out of joy. Bollinger writes the word that Abraham was joyful. It was his own chosen translation there. Are you getting my point? That it wasn't that the man wasn't mocking God. And this was the proof. And look at the proof. It said, will a child be born to a man 100 years old? It was a statement of wonder. Are you getting my point? It wasn't a statement of doubt. And I'll prove it to you. Because most people look at verse 18. It said, Abraham did not believe God. Therefore, he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. What does that prove? That Abraham didn't believe that God? No. Listen to what he said. A lot of Bible put the word, and God said no. Some Bibles put the word, and God said yes. If you have the word yes in your Bible, let me see it. I think NIV has that or something. You have NIV. NIV says that yes, which actually correct thing. Those who say no, they can't understand that. How can God say yes? Because they understood it to mean that when he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee, that Abraham was saying that, God, please use Ishmael as my offspring. No, Abraham was not that stupid. And what God actually said is that, yes. The word there is yes. He now said that, but Sarah, he said, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, no problem, Ishmael will live. He said, but despite that, Sarah will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him and all that. Now, look at verse 20. God now said, hey, that issue of Ishmael, what did he say? He said, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. What does that tell you? The request that Abraham made about Ishmael was granted. John said, if he hears, we know we have our requests. He said, for Ishmael, I have heard thee. This man in the Companion Bible explained it like this. He said, yes, Abraham had thought up to a point that since he had a son called Ishmael, that maybe the covenant will come through Ishmael. But he understood a divine order. All right, that for Isaac to be born, Isaac will, to inherit this promise. Now, I'm giving my own words now. Isaac had to be the firstborn. Are you getting my point? Therefore, he knew that the birth of Isaac will have to signal the death of Ishmael. So he prayed for Ishmael. Said, God, please don't kill Ishmael. And God said, no problem. I won't kill him. Do you get my point? He said, as for Ishmael, I have heard. I will bless him. Do you get my point? That's what he said. I will make his name great. I will. What did he say by Ishmael? I will bless him and make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. All right? He said, but, verse 21, my covenant I will establish with Isaac. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? That is, when I heard this, I said, oh, that makes sense. That Abraham wasn't laughing at God. He was laughing out of excitement. I said, now, wow. You know, you can imagine, maybe one day, as you did like this, somebody just comes and says, please, oh, and you, maybe the last 1 week, your pocket don't dry exceedingly, all right? And then one man just comes and says, please, I'm going to US next week. Please, can you escort me? You know, like, he said, this man is even laughing. You know, they have not told him he's laughing there. You see what I'm saying? That is the way it works. You're already laughing. Just the imagination is making you laugh. What if it really happened? Now, that's not the only thing. Then the day they arrive, of course, you've clearly got to your passport. The person has helped you process the visa and said that, I just want to help you look over something while I'm doing some things. And then they give you your ticket. You look at it, first class. First class ticket to US is $6,000. Return ticket. When you enter, you look. Maybe the ambassador to the United States is traveling home at the same time. He happens to have a seat next to yours. You know, you will say, Now, wow. Now, I mean, they sit with ambassadors like this. Do you get my point? Look, if a Saudi prince wants to travel by commercial jet, he enters first class. Do you get my point? Very wealthy people are the ones you find in first class. Not just rich people, people who have money in their brain. Or a nation is paying your ticket. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because US and back, less than maybe $1,200 US, if you're spending a lot of money, $1,000, you are there, you are back, economic class. First class, it says $6,000. For your information, $6,000 is equal to 1 million naira. Are you getting my point? So you now sit down there. You know, you can't sit down. You're going to laugh throughout the trip. You're going to laugh. When they say what is funny, the way the pain just turned there just was very funny. They don't know that there is something in your soul that you did not imagine. Are you getting my point? That was the kind of laughter that Abraham was laughing. It was not a laughter of doubt. Do you follow what I'm saying? That was why he said, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." And God said, "Yes." And God said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee." If he was saying that Ishmael should take over the covenant, God would not have said, "I have heard thee." He said, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee. But my covenant, I know the guy will live. My covenant will be with Isaac." That was why, after some time, to preserve the life of Ishmael, there was a day Ishmael was playing roughly with Isaac. And Sarah said, "Look, cast this woman and her son out." And Abraham said, "No, it's difficult." God just called him and said, "Go and listen to the voice of thy wife. Because if Ishmael doesn't go, Ishmael is about to die." Please, I hope you have understood that point. All right. But let's stop there. We'll continue from the next. Let's just say a word of thanksgiving as we depart.